Dylan from April the AV Club's Deep Dive Look at Riverdale. Today we're covering up our tracks and recapping the episode How to Get Away with Murder. I'm your host this week, Cameron Sheets, and I'm not with Mara. I'm actually joined by a special guest host this week. Mara is way across the country, actually across the world, not country, across the world right now, and she'll be back soon. But in the meantime, I have a very special guest. I'm excited to welcome back to the podcast my own mom. I just call her mom, but you can call her Andrea. Hi, mom.
Hi, Cameron. Hi, everybody.
It's so funny that we're doing this because I was just on the phone catching up with you anyway. It felt like we kept wanting to be like, oh, yeah, Riverdale. But I was like, no, we should save that conversation until we're out doing the podcast.
Yeah, exactly. So we have to
Exactly. But I'm glad we could make this happen. I didn't get a screener this week, so things came together late and I was busy. And I think if you watched it live, or you didn't watch it live, but you watched it last night, like soon after it was on, right?
Yeah, I did. I was only like 15 minutes behind. So yeah, I caught up with it. And so nice. I pretty much watched it live.
Yeah, so you saw it before I did, which sometimes happens.
Yes.
It is crazy. I feel like just because we haven't talked to you since at some point last season, I don't even remember when that is on the podcast. This is a broad question, but what have you thought of this season so far?
This season is confusing to me, I guess. I don't have a lot of theories. Other seasons, I felt like I've had theories, or I think I know where it's going. Not that I'm ever right, but this year I'm just lost. So yeah, I mean, I have a few things, but I'm not sure where some of this stuff is going, so we'll find out.
I guess we will. I mean, I'm confused too, and we've talked a lot about it on here, and it's just like, you know, we kind of got used to these last two seasons. Actually, the first three seasons have all been kind of centered around like this pretty knowable mystery villain and trying to figure out who they are,
right?
And I mean, I guess I like that the show did something different this season. I mean, there's a bunch of weird new people that we don't trust, but just gradually building up to this, like, murder / not murder of Jughead is maybe something that, like, when the season's over, we'll look back on it and be like, oh, that was good. But right now, I don't know.
There's just a lot of shady people this time.
I know.
Besides, yeah, just one. So there's a lot of shady people. Like, what are they up to and where's this going? So
yeah, and we don't know who's actually in cahoots with who. My favorite cahoots. Well,
but I do like this season, but it's just confusing to me.
Yeah, I guess if that's on purpose, then congratulations to the writers' room. They're making a good, confusing, mysterious season.
Right.
Obviously, the big mystery of the whole season, but especially these last two eps, is this like death of Jughead. It's been teased forever, and he finally, quote, air quote, died at the end of last season, and now we have the fallout from it in a way that is like pretty interesting. And I mean, I don't think a lot of people out there actually believe that the show is killing off Jughead.
Yeah, there's no way.
There's no way. Yeah. And I mean, point number one and the evidence for Jughead still being alive is the fact that we get this episode opening up with narration from Jughead, or at least we've always been told that's who it was.
True.
So I don't really know where it's going. I mean, I you know, we always try and do our best to recap the plot, and this episode is like really focused on, again, the fallout of things. I mean, to the point where we first get everybody, by which I mean Archie and Veronica and Betty all coming home late at night in just their underwear.
In their underwear.
Right. What do you think if I came home late at night in just my underwear?
I was like, what the hell were you doing?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what I would think.
Well, they all
gave
you
have to be a quick thinker to think of a great, you know, like, what was I doing? Yeah. I don't think you'd be good at thinking of something that fast.
I definitely wouldn't be. And also, when have I ever been good at lying, you know?
Right. No, I would definitely know you were lying.
But it's funny you say that, because I think that they all do kind of think of something pretty quickly, but they don't necessarily sell it when they're telling their parents, like,
No.
They're very like, I was skinny dipping in it's like, okay.
Right.
And it's pretty funny. I mean, God, Alice has that line where she's just like, is that blood on your bra to Betty? Like, it's just such a funny moment all
how
around.
How would she even know? She was not that close to her.
I know. It was dark.
And I'm like, how would you even, would blood, that wouldn't even be the first thing that came to my mind.
I know. I agree with you there.
I was like, what?
Yeah. I mean, it's so weird because immediately they know that they have to, like, cover up for things. Like, everybody, even though they don't necessarily talk about it a lot, everybody knows they need to cover up for Betty, which is like, whether she accidentally killed Jughead or not, they don't necessarily want her to get in trouble. But then it just becomes this whole plot about them trying to cover it up and figure out what really happened. And it's like, as far as we know, as far as it seems like, even in their private moments, it seems like these characters believe that Jughead is dead. It's like, we don't really get to see them be super, super sad about it all that much.
Well, that was my thought watching it. Well, first of all, Betty, I mean, your boyfriend's dead. Even, I mean, she knows what's really happening, but wouldn't you think her friends and her mom would be like, why are you not bawling your eyes out? Or even the Stonewall Prep people. Like, why aren't you crying?
Totally. And maybe that adds to more of the reason why people are suspicious. And, like, there's a few times where I feel like Veronica especially is like, wait, but I think they believe her, but can they get caught up in sticking up for her in this? Because then they're all complicit in a way. And it's like, I don't know. Does anyone believe her at all? It's a very weird thing.
Or are they in on it?
I mean,
yeah. They're just playing too.
Well, that's what I think too. I mean, I would think this whole time they're all in on it, at least, again, the three. But it's right. Like, even in moments, it feels like the characters are performing to the camera of the show then. Like, there are times where it's just them in private and they don't have to be so...
Right.
It's just weird. And that's where I keep thinking the show is going to, like, trip over its own foot, because it laid out all these, like, flash forwards, and I mean, I guess to its credit, we get to see a lot of them actually happen in the show's real timeline. You know, we at the end of the episode get to see the town go out and search through the forest. We get to see Jughead's body supposedly in the morgue. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, but what do they really see if it's not Jughead?
Well, I don't know. I mean, is it Jughead?
Or what, like, when his dad, what's his dad think?
I mean,
there's something there they're looking at, right?
Definitely.
I don't know. It's just all very confusing to me.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to find out what happens.
Well, two of the things that I wanted to point out that happened kind of as a result of this is, like, after Betty lies to Alice and goes up to her room, she's obviously, I think this scene is all filmed in a really cool way. The camera's, like, circling around her room and she seems really anxious and nervous. And then she, like, nervous throws up, which I thought was funny because, as you know, now that you've finally seen it, that's like a whole part of who our character is in Hustlers.
Right. Yeah. She's the throw up person.
Yeah. Which is funny. So I just thought that was an interesting decision to have that happen there.
Yeah, that was funny. I didn't even think about that, but you're right. That's interesting.
The other thing I liked is that then when we see the three of them at the at Pop's Diner and they're talking, Kevin comes up.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, just like the show so often does, they kind of just push him aside and they're like, this is just for us, don't worry.
I know, I felt bad for him.
I did too. And Betty is like, well, we have to kind of keep up the cover and pretend that everything's normal, but obviously Kevin is still kind of suspicious there. But it was a funny moment in my mind.
Yeah, like, what are y'all talking about?
The one thing they do get in that scene is they ask, right before they cut to something else, they ask Kevin how the school musical is going, which obviously we're excited about that, but that's a whole other tangent.
How soon is that coming up? Do we know?
I was just looking at, like, the episodes ahead. I think it's honestly within the month. Like, it's only a couple weeks away, maybe.
Nice.
So I'm excited. Yeah, of course.
Me too.
So that's pretty interesting. I think, like, again, a lot of the early part of this episode is sort of the fallout of everything that happened. And it's like, even if they're not necessarily like mourning Jughead's death, there's a lot of like, okay, I'm kind of fucked up by this having happened. And so now I'm going to, in Veronica's case, lash out on my family because Hiram's like working on his will and has Hermosa there and wants to talk to all of them. And we kind of see it. Archie's way of responding to this is kind of to shut himself off, and Mary starts to become suspicious. But the other thing that happens is that Mary reintroduces Archie to Brooke Rivers, her college friend, Sarah Florence. And, well, they're going to recommend him for the Naval Academy. But more importantly, we learn later on that that is Mary's girlfriend. And I love it.
I know. I was very shocked by that. Like, I didn't see that coming at all. But yeah, it was great.
I know. I just wonder how that came up, like who pitched that. And yeah, I mean, maybe it'll come into play a little bit more. It just kind of seems like superfluous, but in a way that I kind of like. It's like, yeah, why the hell not make Mary gay now? Who cares? Right. But it's funny because I remember when we first started meeting, like, I think there's like been two or three people now from Sarah Florence that Mary has introduced Archie to or whatever. And it's always like, I feel like people online were always like, ooh, who's that? You know, they had like a moment in college. And it's like, yeah, right. I guess they kind of did.
Yeah, it's true. Funny.
So the other thing we need to touch on at the beginning is that like Betty's reaction to all this is like, there's no way I did it. I don't remember anything, but there's no way I did it. And for some reason she decides to trust Charles and get his help.
See, when she was reading that script, I thought that was Jughead's story that she was reading from. That's what I originally thought. Oh, and then I'm like, oh no, that's Charles saying what to say. But I thought, oh, this is Jughead's story and she's reading exactly what she's supposed to say.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm like, no, that was Charles.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a little strange too.
Definitely. There's part of me that's like, FP has basically always gone along with all of their shenanigans and has been willing to work around the law to help them. I don't know. It feels crappy that Betty had to lie to him, but it is his son. So obviously he's going to like not be like, okay, he's not going to listen to Betty. If she's like, hear me out. It looks like I killed him, but I didn't. So I guess it makes sense she needs to lie to him for now. But why trust Charles? I have no idea.
Yeah, he seems shady to me. But
yeah, and then speaking of shady people, then Betty calls and tries to get in touch with Evelyn, so I get to see Evelyn again.
Oh, God, I know. I was so excited to see Evelyn.
I love her. You know, I love her.
Me too. She's awesome. Like, I want her on more often.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes, like, I don't know. We've talked about on the podcast being kind of bored by Charles before, especially if he is meant to be a villain. But there are people like Evelyn, and I always like Penny Peabody, too. Like, I kind of love just how evil they are. They're, like, basically twirling their mustache.
Right.
I don't even know where a good midpoint is to leave this off, but, you know, Archie and Veronica kind of, despite questioning Betty's innocence, decide, you know, they need to try and help her out. She obviously didn't intentionally kill Jughead, and so all their only real lead is that obviously somehow these, like, douchebaggy Stonewall kids are behind it. And as Veronica mentions, it's like they don't necessarily know Archie and Veronica that well, but they do know Betty, and it would make sense if they're trying to frame her for some reason. Archie tries to take things into his own hands and shows up at Stonewall and just basically tries to beat up Brett, and it gets a little intense.
That was fun. I liked watching Brett get beat up because I kind of want to do that to him too. So
yeah, we've talked about that, how we just hate him. He's one of the villains we don't
like. He's got such a smug look on his face. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's kind of fun.
Mm-hmm. And so that's happening on one end. And then on the other hand, you know, we already talked about Betty and FP talking. Well, FP finds out that Betty has Jughead's phone. And so Allison and FP kind of have to sit Betty down and be like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
And all she can really do is continue lying, I guess.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. I think... we should take the first break of the episode and then come back and talk about the second half.
Sounds good.
All right.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Okay, we're back. As I was saying earlier, it definitely feels like, you know, this episode is also focused on this one plot. Like, we don't see Cheryl at all. We see Kevin briefly, and it's like the joke that he's getting pushed aside.
Yeah.
And obviously it makes sense. Like, this is such a big deal for these three people, so it's pretty focused. But it's also all kind of blurring together in my memory now, even though I just watched it. I'm like, wait, when did this happen, and when did that happen? Mm-hmm. Because then at some point, Betty gets a call that the rock was found, the murder weapon.
Right.
And obviously that's interesting for a few reasons, because as she's talking to Charles, he's like, I thought you said you threw that in the swim hole or whatever the heck. And she's like, I did, but she suspects then that Donna and Brett had like grabbed it and planted it so they'd find her. And then she goes to ask Jellybean for her fake blood. That's the first time we've seen Jellybean in months.
We got to see Jellybean. I know.
So good for her, staying employed.
Yes.
And then she uses that, and then they decide to do, well, they just need to make it look like Jughead's still out there and that no one, basically this is where the whole town searching for Jughead in the woods comes into play.
Right.
And sure enough, they find him. And, well, at least something. It looks like.
What do they find?
I don't know. I mean, it looks like a body, and it looks a lot like Cole Sprouse in Jughead's clothes. So,
and he's not really dead. Do they see him breathing?
I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, he could not be dead in that moment, but then, like, when we see him later on the table at the morgue, and they pull the blanket off his head, the sheet off his head, it's like, he's got to be dead then, right?
Right. And I was so disappointed, because I thought Colonel Junior was going to be there.
We love him. We love him.
No, I'm like, okay, Colonel Junior's back. No.
Yeah, it's a disappointment. Definitely. So, yeah. It's weird. I mean, again, like, some of these are scenes that we've seen in the flash forwards from the season. So we are literally seeing the show thread everything together in a way. But I just, like, we just don't know enough.
And so confusing.
We still have not seen, you know, it's got to mean something that, like, between FP and Archie stumbling upon Jughead's body in this episode and between Jughead going into the woods with Brett at the end of last episode, we didn't see his body at all in between then. Like, it, as they say, like, Lily and, God, why do I always call them their real names? It's because I love them so much. Betty and Veronica and Archie, like, they burned his clothes. Well, we don't see them move the body around or even take the beanie cap off Jughead's dead body. I think that has to mean something.
Yes, I agree.
Seeing it.
That's what makes me feel like they're all in on it, but pretending they're not. I don't know. I don't know. I'm just so confused.
And I don't know. Things are coming up in certain ways. Obviously, we already touched on the Mary Andrews stuff from earlier in the episode. Well, the last, like, scene we get of Archie, this, you know, she's like really like, Archie, why aren't you telling me what's going on? Are you upset that I'm gay? Basically. And he's like, no, that's not, there's just other stuff going on. But then like once it gets out that Jughead's dead, she's like, you've been through so much. And Archie's like about to confess something to her, but he doesn't, we don't see what he tells her either.
Mm-hmm.
So could he be telling her like, I don't know what happened, we think Betty might have done this and we're really scared? Or is he telling her Betty and Veronica and FP and I all have this big plan to make it seem like Jughead got murdered? Like, what is he actually telling her there? We don't know.
Why did he close the blinds?
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think about that.
I'm like, why is he closing the blinds? Does he not want Betty to see him talking to his mom? And
well, maybe.
I mean, it was just, it was strange.
Maybe, or, I mean, I didn't even think about that part of it. Like, what if Jug is alive somehow and he's hiding out at Archie's and he's about to close the blinds and bring Jug out and be like, look, he's hiding out in the closet here because this. And does, if that was the case, I'm just throwing out wild theories now, but if that was the case, then does Betty know that's happening? Or are they trying to keep Jughead hidden from Betty because they're worried about what she might actually do? I don't know.
Yeah. Your guess is as good as mine.
I know.
I don't know. I cannot wait to find out, though.
Across town, I think we should just touch on the fact that Veronica and Hermosa talked to Hiram, and they seem to have come to a sort of detente and tell Hiram that they want to be co-executors of his estate. And Hiram's, of course, happy with that. But I think Hermosa feels a little suspicious of Veronica, because afterwards she's like, why are you deferring Barnard College? Like, who would do that? And this all kind of dovetails with our suspicions of Hermosa, which, Mom, I know you've told me you don't trust her and you don't think she's...
I don't trust her, and I don't think it's his daughter. I just...
Yeah.
There's something there. And I also don't think he's sick. There's something going on.
Well, I don't think so either. And well, now, okay, I'm almost in speculation booth territory. So let's put a pin in Hermosa, because I have like some other like unfounded theories about her that I'll throw out in a second. But let's finish up the episode. Basically, one of the last big scenes is Betty confronting Donna in the woods again. You know, Betty goes there and Donna just willingly shows up. And as Betty later says, it's because she's like, I think that Donna knows to be scared, and obviously Betty tries to do a good job of freaking her out there. What does she call herself? She's like, well, she says she's the Black Hood's son, but she's
right.
Like, oh,
yeah, that freaked me out.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's shot like head on too, which is funny. Oh, she says, "I'm the nightmare next door," which I think is such a funny line.
Right.
It's just again, the show got so lucky with Lily Reinhart, because she can be like sweet and like, well, the girl next door type that you want, but she's so good at being like such a boss. And anytime she calls Donna a bitch, I can't help but laugh.
I know. But yeah, her eyes are, I mean, she's got those soft, friendly eyes, but they can also be like, oh my God.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. So yeah, Donna's shaking in her shoes.
Definitely. And again, so she tells Veronica and Archie that she had confronted Donna, and they said their next move is to wait for the Stonewall kids to make the next move now. Mm-hmm. Because I think they feel, you know, if this Jughead thing is their plan, they feel like Brett or Donna or someone is going to, I don't know, slip somehow, some way. That's the episode. Quite a wild one. We usually include a little section where we just kind of like general thoughts on the episode. And so, I mean, really quickly, I like it. And I think I've said this before too, like with where the last episode ended, the Ides of March episode, it's like, I don't know. I'm definitely invested in this mystery in a way that, like, even though I've enjoyed this season, I didn't feel like compelled to keep watching as much as I am right now, because I want and I need to know what happens.
Yes, me too. I like the episode. I thought it was good. Yeah, it keeps you wanting more. Like, okay, give me a little more. Give me a little more. Maybe I can figure it out.
Yeah. Well, because I was so excited to talk about my Hermosa theory, let's pop a squat in the speculation booth now. I wrote down, as I always do, some questions I had from the episode. And the first one is the one you already asked. It's like, okay, is Hiram actually sick? Can we trust Hermosa? What's the deal there? And here's my current thought is that Hermosa is, maybe she actually is Hiram's half-daughter or something, but I think that she's back in town because she's trying to exploit Hiram for his money and everything, and she's blackmailing him somehow. Like, she has something on Hiram. Like, Hiram is making it seem like they're on each other's side and they're in this business together, but I think that that's all part of her plan. And now that we see that Hermosa is, like, a co-executor of Hiram's estate, it's like, I feel like that was something, she was trying to pull strings to get to that point.
Yes.
And she wouldn't have been listed in that will had she not come back. Well, maybe that's not true, but I feel like there's part of me that makes me, that thinks that she is, like, telling Hiram that he needs to lie about being sick, because obviously that gets Veronica to feel a little bit more sympathy for him in a way she hadn't been, and that gets her to kind of bend to his will a little bit more. Mm-hmm. It's a loose theory, but I mean, yeah. I don't trust her.
No, I don't trust her at all, and there's something going on, but I didn't think about that. Like, she's got something over Hiram. I just think it's not, I just never thought it was his daughter.
Yeah. I mean, right, because you were like, I think she's his mistress, right?
Yeah, that's what I feel like, and mm-hmm. I don't know what they're trying to pull or do, but I don't know. I just don't think it's his daughter, and I definitely don't think he's sick. It just came about, and I don't know.
No, I mean, I don't think so either. And we were talking about that before too. It's like all Hiram being sick is just getting Veronica to feel bad for him again, right. And for her to cut him some slack in certain areas, even though he tried to kill her boyfriend, et cetera, et cetera. It's like he's getting what he wants out of this in the end.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I can't wait to find out what all that too.
The other question. I mean, obviously, it's like, is Jughead really dead? We both don't think so. But the other one I have written down related to that is, why is Charles so willing to help Betty cover this up? It's like, he's in the FBI. Like, obviously, he's up to some shady stuff because we've literally seen him talking to Chick before. But, like, so right. If he was a completely good guy, there's, I don't know. He wouldn't let Betty do this like this.
Yeah, there's something going on there. That's what I said. There's so much. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, and I think it's significant, too, that we've seen Charles talking to Chick in prison. Evelyn's in prison with Chick, right? I don't know. I think there's something to that, for sure. I don't know why one would be working together and, like, what their ultimate goal is. But, like, I don't know. If Charles wants Betty to get away with this, well, I mean, then it's a question of whether or not Charles actually believes Jughead's dead. If Charles believes Jughead is dead, now he's got, and he wants to frame Betty for murder for some reason, then he's going to have all this evidence on her because he's literally helping her cover it up. So,
Interesting.
I think I want to read, I have two fan theories from some listeners on Twitter that I wanted to read. So it'd be interesting to get your thoughts. This one actually has something to do with Evelyn, Charles, and Chick in a way that I didn't realize, but it's from @adopeghost. And they said, so Betty calls Charles first, as we know in this episode. Mm-hmm. They think that Jughead is dead. Charles knows that he's not dead, but really wants to mess with Betty. Because as we know, we've seen him and Chick talking in jail about their plans. And Evelyn could be in all this if she talked to Donna. They say, I don't think that Donna actually knows what's going on, though. Anyways, what if Charles has Jughead locked up somewhere and the body really is a fake cadaver set up by Charles, Chick, Evelyn? I think that that's an interesting theory, too, in that, like, I mean, it kind of ties into what we were talking about those three working together. But right. It's like, maybe the Stonewall kids really, truly have no idea what's going on either. Like, they really might not. Because...
yeah.
Well, it would help Charles and Chick, ultimately, if there are people out there that are also convinced that Betty did it. You know what I mean? That one's making my head hurt, though.
Yeah. Interesting.
So the other one I have on here is from @StaircaseLeanne, and this is kind of related to news that we obviously will talk about a little bit more in the Blue and Gold. But Staircase Leanne says, okay, here's my new theory in light of the recent casting departure news. It's determined that for some reason Hermione killed Jughead, and she gets tried and sent to an all-female prison really far away. Veronica occasionally mentions visiting her, but we never see it.
Oh, gee. I love it.
I mean, it's funny to try and, like, fit that into the casting news, because that's obviously going to come into play somehow.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure that out, too, how they're going to do this. So.
Well, we'll talk about that in the Blue and Gold, but as always, we wrap up the speculation booth with the section I call the name game, where we just look at the name and synopsis of next week and try and figure out what the hell is going on. Did you watch the little preview teaser after the episode?
I totally can't remember what it was, but I did.
Well, it's a lot of quick scenes. It looks like we're going to see Jughead's funeral. We see, like, FP walking into the classroom saying that Archie, Betty, and Veronica are under arrest. We see them in jail at one point. Yeah.
That's right.
Suspicious. Yeah. I mean, a lot happened, so I get it. But, well, anyway, the episode next week, according to Wikipedia, is called To Die For, which is named after... Now, I wonder if you've seen this or remember it. The 1995, like, dark comedy crime drama with Nicole Kidman. Do you know this?
No.
It's got Nicole Kidman just being really vampy and ridiculous. And, it's got a lot of gay fans. It's kind of a cult movie in that way. I've definitely seen it. And surprise, surprise, it's a kind of, like, intentionally complicated, convoluted, like, murder mystery of a plot. Basically... Nicole Kidman's character is this, like, super career-focused woman who wants to break it in the news world. She wants to be, like, a big on TV, like, on-air broadcast journalist. And her husband is played by Matt Dillon, and he starts to, like... Well, at one point, he, like, tells her that he needs to, like... She needs to step back from work because she's not giving enough time over to him and the family and his restaurant and stuff like that. So she comes up with this whole plot where she seduces and convinces these teenagers to kill her husband.
Oh, geez. I've never even heard of this movie. How have I not heard of that?
Well, it's funny because it's Nicole Kidman and Matt Dillon, and then it's also, like, got a young Joaquin Phoenix and Casey Affleck in it. They're, like, the teenagers that she seduces.
Oh, my gosh.
So
watch.
There's a whole lot of twists and turns in that, and I'm curious, like, obviously, Riverdale's not going to, like, fully lift that plot, but I think there's a lot of ways in which it could, like, overlap with that. I mean, one, the fact that she's this adult woman who is trying to, like, make it in broadcast news, it makes me think of Alice. Like, I totally could see Alice being that type of character. Uh-huh. And sure enough, I read the synopsis for the episode next week, and... Here's what it says. I should read it. I should pull it up and read it to you. It says, murder in a small town. Alice begins shooting a documentary about Riverdale and the latest mystery involving one of its own. That's the first line of it. And literally in To Die For, Nicole Kidman's character is shooting a documentary about these teens. And that's how she meets them and decides that she's going to seduce them and get them to kill her husband. So pretty interesting. Anyway, mm-hmm. Back to the synopsis. It says, meanwhile, Archie and Veronica... and Betty fall deeper into a web of lies as the investigation gets underway. So, not a lot to go off of, but it's interesting.
Yeah, it's gonna just get more crazy before it gets, before we understand what's really going on.
Yeah. Oh, there's one other theory that wasn't tweeted us or anything, but I feel like I should mention before we wrap up the speculation booth, is that... we always talk about our favorite writer, Alex Albin, over at Decider.com. He wrote this article about this character from the Archie comics called Souphead, who is literally the character Jughead's, like, identical cousin, who shows up from time to time. And it's like, okay, is the show actually going to introduce him? Is that their way to keep Cole involved while actually killing off Jughead? Like, I kind of doubt it, but I mean, the fact remains that there have been, like, on-set photos and videos, and, like, Cole is very much still on set and in costume and everything.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's no way. You can't. Yeah.
Totally. But I just thought it was funny. I think we've linked to that Soup Head article, but as it turns out, Soup Head and Jughead, the characters are almost identical in every way, except that instead of eating burgers all the time like Jughead does, Soup Head eats soup.
Soup.
What do you know?
Huh. Well, and then, you know, they burned the beanie, so Soup Head wouldn't be wearing the beanie. Because I thought, well, what's Jughead going to do when he comes back and his beanie's been burned?
Yeah, I know, right?
He's not going to have it anymore, but now if he's Soup Head, wouldn't need it.
Yeah, I know, that's right. But I think Soup Head does wear a hat still, too, so I'm not really sure. I don't know enough. I'm going to have to read that article again.
that's funny.
Let's take our second and final break, and then we'll come back and get into the blue and gold.
We are
the real Brady Bros.
Brady Brothers from the TV show Brady Bunch. I'm Barry Williams.
And I'm Christopher Knight.
I played Greg. And who are you again?
I played Peter. We've decided that we're going to do a podcast around episodes of the Brady Bunch. We're going to use it as a prism to look back to our experience doing the show and why the Brady Bunch is still popular.
Have a sunshine day.
We are the real Brady Bros.
Okay, we're back and wrapping things up with the blue and gold. If somehow you weren't paying attention and are just tuning in or paying attention now, I'm joined by my mom as my guest host this week. Hi, Mom. How are you doing?
Oh, good.
I feel like I talk about you on the podcast all the time, and it's like, that's like, there's not a lot of people in my life right now that are also still watching Riverdale, so beyond our podcast listeners. So it's like, Mara and I talk about Riverdale on the podcast every week, and then I tweet about it constantly, but then you and I always have to check in on it.
We always talk about it, right? Because nobody else I know my age watches it, so.
Well, what's wrong with them?
I don't know.
Well, one other thing that I had asked if you had seen yet, and I've seen a little bit of since, is Katie Keene. Because Mara and I are going to be in Austin, Texas for South by Southwest in 2 weeks, and we're going to get to talk to the Katie Keene cast there.
Oh,
and
wow.
I'm really excited. I have already talked to Lucy Hale, as we mentioned, but, like, it'll be cool. So I obviously want to get caught up on the show by then. So I've seen two episodes, and I kind of love it. It's, like, it obviously is melodramatic in the very, like, kind of sappy, chasing your dreams, New York romance sort of way. But I also think it's really fun and campy and colorful and ridiculous in a lot of ways. Like, Katie Keene works at, the department store Katie Keene works at is called Lacey's, which, I mean, what could that be based on? and her boss is basically, like, Meryl Streep and Devil Wears Prada level of, like, bitchy boss. And
Genius.
So that's kind of funny. And then there's musical numbers, and there's Josie, and every once in a while there's, like, a reference to Riverdale being the murder capital of the USA. Like, I'm, like, happy that South by Southwest is giving me an excuse to catch up on it, because I think it's pretty interesting.
I might have to start watching it.
There's no murder yet, so.
Too, but I'm like, I see little clips of it, and I'm like, oh, I'd probably like it.
It's cute, and there's something about it, too, that feels like the way that Riverdale's first season did, where, I mean, Riverdale as a show still looks and is directed really well, but it's also become a show where you're seeing the same, like, eight sets over and over again, and Katie Keene, especially because they do film a lot of it on location in New York, feels a little bit more, not expensive, I don't know, but there's just, like, it just feels like the world is a little bit bigger right now, which is kind of exciting. But it's just funny because it's everyone is like, at the first episode especially, it's like all these characters have these impossibly cool New York lives. But there's ways that the show is kind of like all their big dreams are like kind of getting thrown in their face in some ways. So it's like this New York fantasy world, but it's also like, I don't know, it's realistic. It's good. I like it.
And is it? Yeah. So you said colorful. When I first started watching Riverdale, because I didn't see the first season, and then I started watching, and then went back and watched it, but it just seemed like everything was dark.
Yeah.
So much of it's filmed, like, it's just dark and grungy, whereas I feel like Katie Keene would be brighter. And
definitely the case. Definitely brighter. A lot of big, flashy fashion. I mean, Katie Keene is always wearing, like, a big red dress. It's, like, her signature thing, so... kind of the Cheryl Blossom vibe there, I guess. But yeah, it's super colorful. And something else interesting is that since a lot of it is filmed in New York, it seems like they can get a lot of cool... We talked about this before. It seems like they can get a lot of cool, like, actors that are in New York, Broadway actors, that sort of thing, to stop by for these guest roles. Where it's like, obviously, there's a lot of great talent in Vancouver, too. But, you know, somebody shows up in Riverdale for, like, a two-episode guest role, unless it's somebody like Kelly Ripa, it's like usually an actor you've never really heard of before, right? You know, but on this it's like Katie Keene's boyfriend KO, his mom is played by Becky Ann Baker, who is like, she's been in TV shows forever. She's been in Freaks and Geeks, and she was Lena Dunham's character's mom on Girls. Like, she's just been around forever. Anyway, the other big
news, so you've convinced me, I'm gonna have to watch now.
It's fun. I think it's a good time. I'd be curious. We'll have to check back in with you after you watch it and hear your thoughts.
Yes. Okay.
The huge thing, and one of the main reasons, even though we don't have Mara this week, I was like, Mommy, we have to do the episode with me so we can talk about Skeet Ulrich and Rachel Nichols leaving the show.
No, Skeet's not allowed to leave. No. Marisol, you know, I mean, she's good in it, but I don't want Skeet to leave. He's my favorite.
I know, it's so weird. I mean, I have to imagine it has nothing to do with any bad feelings on set. I'm sure it really just comes down to, like, contract things and being smart about stuff. Because, again, the Vancouver of it all, like, that means that Skeet is spending a lot of his year shooting this show up in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. And truly, as we've talked about before, like, his arc this season has been kind of all over the place. And I think he's seemed more central to the plot in seasons past. So it, like, doesn't surprise me that, especially if, like, Riverdale kind of raises his profile again a little bit, like, maybe he can spend more time in Hollywood and get some more exciting projects. And he was already a well-known person, but I think that, like, obviously, like, Riverdale had to have been a helpful thing for him. And God, Marisol Nichols, like, Hermione has just been so sidelined since forever ago.
Right. Running for mayor. And it's like, I don't know. That all just went weird to me.
Yeah.
With Hiram and.
How do you think the show's going to handle that? I mean,
I don't know. And that's interesting. I'd like to know what theories on that. Like, how are they going to get rid of
too? Well, I think there's a lot of theories, and part of it kind of gets tangled up with, like, we don't really know what the show's approach to season 5 is going to be. We've talked so much about everybody going off to college, like, how much of Riverdale season 5 is even going to be set in Riverdale? Like, if Jughead's off at another school or, like, writing in another city or something like that, then I guess you don't need to show FP as much. Or does FP move away? Or, God forbid, did they kill off FP? You know, something like that.
No, I don't think they'll kill him off.
Yeah. But people have just been wondering about the college part of it and wondering if maybe there's a time jump in between seasons and all that sort of thing. I would be curious.
I think Hiram's going to kill off Hermione.
Or what if Hermosa does it?
Or Hermosa and Hiram.
Yeah, it could
kill
be.
Her off. I think she'll be killed off. But I don't think they're going to do that to...
Yeah.
I mean, both the main, you know, the two guy characters, their dads are both going to die. I just don't think they'd go there.
I don't think so either. Definitely not with FP. That'd be a lot.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't handle that. So yeah. That's not going to happen.
But pretty interesting, pretty surprising. I mean, I think that like the way that those two both broke one after another makes me think that there won't necessarily be any other big casting changes in terms of like departures. Like, I don't think that we're going to lose Cole from the show, even though Jughead's maybe dead, or we're going to lose any of the teens necessarily. But
it's going to have Soup Head.
What?
We'll just have Soup Head instead.
Yeah, Soup Head. I mean, that's fine by me. I mean, they really need to get Dylan Sprouse to come play Soup Head, whether or not Jughead's still alive or not.
Right.
Okay, the one final thing in Blue and Gold I wanted to bring up is, Mom, had you heard that Lily Reinhart has a quote-unquote new man in her life?
No.
Well, it's not what you think. It's just a misleading headline from Just Jared.
A dog.
She has a dog, yeah, which you probably saw on Instagram.
Right? I do, yeah. I always see her with dogs, so that's when you said that. I'm like, oh, it's got to be a dog. I love that she always has pictures with dogs. And
I know. It's so cute. His name's Milo, which, you know, we used to have a dog named Milo.
Right. Aw.
But that headline was just like, what? The headline is literally, Lily Reinhart has a new man in her life, and his name is Milo. Like, sure, Milo is maybe more commonly a pet name than a human name, but, like, it's so intentionally clickbaity and misleading.
That's funny. Yeah, I didn't notice. I saw the picture, but I guess I didn't notice the headline. But I do know Milo.
Yeah.
A man named Milo, so, yeah.
It's a cute dog. There's a really funny Instagram story that Cami Mendes had posted where it's like, it's KJ Apa, like, really, it's like seriously rehearsing a line where he's like saying it over and over again. And the line's something like, will you do that for me, Ronnie? Ronnie, will you do that for me, Ronnie? And then you see she pans over and Cole Sprouse is there. And Cole Sprouse is weirdly going, Ronnie, Ronnie, just kind of like making fun of him. But then you hear Lily off camera go, Milo, like in the same tone. And it's her like chasing her dog over. It's just really cute.
Oh, I want to see that.
I'll have to send it to you. If I had time to pull sound bites this week, we'd throw it in there. But we'll tweet about it. It's just a cute moment.
Yeah, got to see that.
But that kind of wraps things up. Obviously, I always think like it'll be a shorter episode, but sure enough, we've talked for 45 minutes. So, I don't want
to. That's my bedtime. No.
Longer. Yeah, because you're 3 hours ahead of me. It's getting late for you. I don't want to keep you any longer. It's, but
not yet. But
it's getting there. No.
Yeah.
But, Mom, thank you so much for doing this with me. You saved me.
Thanks for having me.
You saved all our listeners from having to just hear me, like, talk to myself for 45 minutes.
They got to listen to us having our normal weekly conversation about Riverdale. Yeah,
it's true. It's an insight into what our normal phone calls are like once a week.
Right. So. Exactly.
So you're welcome. No. Dial In for Maple is a production of Onion Inc. Our theme music is by Stuart Wood, and our engineer is Stacey Gerard. The show is hosted by myself, Cameron Sheets, and normally Mara Eakin, but of course, as you know, I was joined by my own mom, Andrea, this week. If you like the show, please tell your friends. We're on all the platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, and wherever else you can get your podcasts. And as always, you can follow us on Twitter at Dial In for Maple. We're sharing theories, we're tweeting jokes, we're having fun there. So follow us on that. Thanks, and we'll see you guys next week for the episode To Die For. Mom, take it away.
Bye-bye, Bulldogs.